Poison Rana.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Brayden Harrington here with Davey Portman for Poison Rana. You found us in whatever podcast app you are using. Hit that subscribe and we are
live on youtube.com/@poisonranapod. Hello, YouTubers.
YouTubers. Wrestling friends.
Friends.
I was going to say that's our Tuesday thing.
Always wrestling.
Our frogs. Where are my frogs at? It's Sunday. It's the day of frogs. Hello, good sir. Hello, everyone out there. You know, we missed leap year. We fucked up. That could have been a huge... We could have done a whole, like, frog day. But I didn't know it was coming up.
Nah, they're already stealing another day of work from us on a leap year.
Like, well, I mean, technically, we got a day for free living in our apartment. Because you didn't... Like, usually February is 28th, so an extra day.
It's still a shorter month, though.
Yeah.
It's still swindling compared
us. Compared. But I saw so many ads for so many different things on leap day.
Right.
And they were using frogs as their graphics. And I was like, I didn't think of that. So... In 4 years, we'll celebrate Leap Day properly. So leap, my frog.
Happy Mother's Day to all you UK mothers or any other parts of the world. I know US and Canada and most of the world celebrate it at a different time. But shout out mums.
Yeah.
As always. Mr. T would say.
Yeah, always time to shout out mums.
Yeah.
So good day. I hope some moms out there are having a nice day. Or maybe, when's Father's Day? I don't know when these days are. I just look at the calendar.
Yeah, Father's Day. I think we share the same day as Father's Day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it's Sunday. We're going to chat about everything going on in the world of wrestling. Yes, it's Poison Rana. If you haven't hit that subscribe, please do so. Welcome. We have lots and lots of shows. It's WrestleMania season. Mm-hmm. Wrestling, so hot right now. It's a fun time. There's a lot going on. We got Okada on TV. The Rock is back. Prime Energy is a sponsor.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot to talk about today. So, if you don't know who we are, hey, check out all the other stuff that we do. Follow us on our socials for everything. And check out our spiffy-looking chopped-tees.com/poisonrana because we have some great merch. Davey, you've put out the... Philly-inspired Rocky Poison Rana t-shirts.
Oh, yeah. You've still got time to get this in, to wear it for Mania. Delivery is very quick with Chop-Tees. So, yeah, pretty proud of this one. I think it looks pretty cool, especially on the baseball tee.
Yeah.
It looks very swifty.
That's the one I'm going to get, yeah.
And you know what? You've got a chance to get this t-shirt, potentially... For free, because our good friend Dickie Bird over at Chop-Tees, the president of the Chop-Tees, is doing a huge March competition giveaway. Yes, Chop-Tees is giving away $350 worth of merchandise from their website. Yeah, you heard that right. $350 to splurge on any items you wish. And their collection is vast. With something for everyone, whether you're into classic tees, cozy pullover hoodies, zip hoodies, baseball tees, hats, beanies, coffee mugs, not the shot glasses because they're still sold out. What's even better is Chop Tees will let you decide what you want across all the brands, so you can mix and match. You can obviously, if you win this, spend the majority on Poison Rana merch.
Of course.
But you can support our friends over at Post Wrestling. You could get maybe the Karen Peterson Empress tee, or even a King of Sports hoodie for our good friend Nate Milton, who you just heard on the ad at the beginning for our Best Match Ever Sting. So this prize is in USD, so if you're Canadian, that's what, like $1,000 after conversion? No, around $500. So if you want to get in on this competition for a chance to win $350 for Chop Tees, you can head over to Twitter, follow @chopped_tees, and just retweet their pinned tweet about the giveaway. And that's it.
It's all you have to do, and you can win lots and lots of merch from your favorite podcasts here on the Chop Tees website.
Absolutely. This competition ends Monday, March 18th, Eastern Standard Time, and at midnight. And, yeah, you'll still, as I said, delivery is very quick on these products, so you should have time to, you know, win this competition, buy a whole load of merch and be decked out for Mania.
Yeah.
So check out the pinned tweet over at chopped_tees and for all the terms and conditions there. But yeah, great competition our good friend Dickie's giving for the most wonderful time of the year. It's WrestleMania season.
Yeah, you could get a whole fit from that. You could get everything from winning this and all these different things that we have on the site. I got to shout out Dickie for making the site look so good. We got new hats on the website as well. You can get the post-wrestling hat. You can get the frog hat. You can get different variations. He's got trucker hats on there. He even got the Poison Rana logo on the side now. There's so many there. So
it's like the new era.
Yeah, it looks logo. Like it's yeah, like it's this cool. whole thing. So Dickie's just really been killing it with the chop-tees.com. So go check it out. And look, it's free shipping pretty much everywhere with some places. I mean, if you're listening from like a
sorry, if you're in Azerbaijan, I think you might have to pay for shipping.
I don't even know if that's a real country or not. So there you go. But you could order and get free shipping most places. So support your small-time content creators, because this is how. If you like What Up, Doe, if you like Eagles Don't Hunt Flies, if you like, you know, all these other shows, go support. That's the best way you can. So show your love.
Hey, I'm injured.
Am I allowed to retweet this and win?
If 300? The president nominee can vote for themselves, I think I can enter this competition.
So you just use all the earnings on our own.
It'll
merch?
Just be like when I do the Rumble pools or the or the NFL Super Bowl squares,
which
like,
you did win. Yes. Yeah. So there'd be some fixing going on.
No. You have a good chance to win this, and we will give it over to you, our listeners.
Yes, of course. So yeah, go check it out. Do that retweet. Get yourself some free stuff. But check out the website, because there's so many other stuff. I know the post wrestling guys, they put up so much stuff on there as well. So all the merch, and we have the freedom to do like whatever we want. We can upload stuff very quickly and create stuff, you know,
on the fly. No cease and desist us the far, so yeah.
Yeah, no cease and desist. We have a few ideas that might get us a few, but I don't know how to go about this, but we need like the Roman Reigns style acknowledge me, but it's just appreciate me.
Appreciate.
Coming soon, I'm sure. So yeah, check out that. That's how we keep the lights on.
Shout out Brandon. I literally just saw on Twitter, Brandon...
Gamblin.
Yeah, Brandon Gamblin has received our Canadian-made Poison Rana t-shirt, the CM Punk-inspired tee. It looks great. The blue on the black one.
Yeah.
So thank you, Brandon, for supporting.
Yes, he tweeted us and said he was going to like an anime convention or something today. So he was rocking that one during the convention. Love to see it. Awesome. So very much appreciate. Always appreciate the pictures of the stuff. Send them in. We'll always share them and everything. And join the Facebook group if you haven't already as well. There's the Facebook chat. You can see all the fun stuff we get up into there. Lots of fun in the Poison Rana Facebook chat, especially when wrestling is on. And especially when we call to you, our frogs, for tadpoles. Because I know we're going to be doing a lot of shows for not only our Patreon, but just going into WrestleMania season and everything. But because we're going to this ECW tribute show on the Friday in Philly at the ECW arena, we thought we would maybe go back and pick a retro ECW review. So unfortunately, we've already chatted about Barely Legal 97 and Heat Wave 98, which is considered like the two best ECW pay-per-views. I want some insight here from anyone who can help me out. I want you to help me find the best ECW arena shows that have taken place. And we're going to take a list of all the people's, ideas, and we're going to put it to a tadpole.
It looks most likely we're going to be doing something when they were doing their super shows rather than pay-per-views, because they had a lot at the arena, like way back in like 93, 94 even. So, if you have any suggestions, please let us know. We are going to put the list on our Facebook page in the next couple of days to get you voting to see which ECW event you would like us to review. But we've got a whole WrestleMania / Philly / Wallace and Gromit inspired month this month over at the Poison Rana Patreon.
Yeah. Hey, you ever thought, you know what, guys, $5 isn't a whole lot to put down for a month. I've always loved you guys. I want to support. Now is your time. You want to buy us a beer, even though you can't make it to Philly? Buy yourself some podcasts, because it's only $5 for a whole month's access to become a friend over on our Patreon. And this month, may I say, is the most stacked ever in the history of Up Next / Poison Rana.
We're working overtime this month.
Yeah.
We're putting out a few bonus shows, so absolutely a great month to get your money's worth. As we said, February, you lose a couple of days.
Yeah.
So this, we're kind of repaying for that, and we've got so much going on.
Yeah, so we're going to WrestleMania in Philly, so we thought, why not we review a former WrestleMania that took place in Philly? Mm-hmm. So we will be looking at WrestleMania 15 from Philadelphia.
Rock Austin 1.
That's right, yeah. That's right. Another show we will be looking at because of the recent announcement of Paul Heyman, the wise man, being inducted into the Hall of Fame. We are going to be doing our third ever Poison Profile, covering the Extreme Liberator.
Yeah, this one's going to be really interesting because obviously Heyman's career goes way back as like a teenager showing up at MSG taking photos, and then obviously his stuff in like WCW with the Dangerous Alliance,
yeah.
And then being the owner and booker of ECW through to, you know, Jerry Lawler getting fired or walking, and Heyman on commentary for that brief stint on commentary for possibly the greatest mania of all
17.
Time. The Invasion, the Alliance, Brock Lesnar, which may or may not be talked about in his induction speech, right through to present day with Roman Reigns. And who knows, we might even get a bit of Rybacksel in there as well.
Yeah, Rybacksel. Who else was a Paul Heyman guy briefly?
Cesaro.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Looking
Big
forward
Show
to...
Big Show has been a yeah, guy, Punk.
True. Tommy Dreamer, you mentioned WrestleMania 17. Yeah. We'll probably talk about that.
I doubt Dreamer will be at the Hall of Fame.
So yeah, looking forward to this. We're going to chat about the whole career of Paul Heyman and kind of look at all the different things and what he's kind of... He's had his paw prints on a few things in the world of wrestling, and I'd say he was definitely a catalyst of so many things, and ECW being something that was just so huge and inspired many. So definitely going to have a fun chat talking about Paul Heyman this month. Sticking with Philly, we mentioned the ECW throwback, but we've been doing the show for a few years now. WrestleMania season is actually our like anniversary of when me and you started doing these things.
This will be year six, I believe.
And this one's for the real diehard fans here. This is the first time ever we will be looking at NXT TakeOver Philadelphia. That's right. Andrade, Gargano, and Chill. I think I flipped them around there. Gargano, Almas, and Chill. But yes.
Yeah, this is, especially early days of the Patreon, a match we talked about a lot. It became a bit of a running gag on the show. We even had a t-shirt made for it.
Got to bring those back.
Yeah. And, well, we thought we were going to go back and look at the whole event, which I remember being pretty solid as well, the undercard. I think also going to be interesting looking at that match again, where I think at the time it was kind of novel, a match like that in WWE. Whereas I think now NXT certainly took that formula, and we've seen it with AEW as well. That kind of match is way more common. So will we still rate it as highly as we did 6 years ago?
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, so really looking forward to reviewing that. And then sticking with Philly, as we mentioned, our new Philly-inspired t-shirt available. We will be looking at Stallone, Sly, in Rocky. We're gonna fly now. We're gonna chat about the OG, the movie that I think every kid in school should just be played this at like the age of like 13. You should just be like, look, watch this.
As sometimes soon as you're old enough to pick up a set of dumbbells,
yeah,
right? And what are like,
you gotta watch this movie and you'll learn a lot about life and yourself. So yeah, we're gonna have fun and chat about Rocky, and who knows, maybe one day we'll get to Rocky IV, which seems to be what's playing out on NXT these days anyways. So looking forward to this. So, and there's one more.
Well, we've got two more shows, actually, but not quite in our WrestleMania Philly mode, but we will be joined by Chris Elliott, one of our world champions, our family members.
One of our
former
buddies.
Former Up Next Rumble winner.
And Up Next Mania loser.
Main eventer. Yeah, he's the Cody of Poison Rana. He has selected Wallace and Gromit, A Grand Day Out, and The Wrong Trousers. Two short British claymation movies. They're about 30 minutes each. You can find them pretty easily online. An absolute staple growing up when I was a kid. I've watched these so much. And yeah, we'll find out why Chris has chosen this. I'm pretty excited to rewatch them, actually. Like, really fun, easy watch. And I'm sure now we're older, we'll notice so many more kind of references to other things, because there's a lot of like hidden jokes
right
in these things. So we'll be talking about that with Chris.
I wonder if that was a thing in the States, because being here in Canada, we're around the same age. Like, I grew up, this was always played like on TV in schools and just like everything. It's like the short little fun things that always had people laughing. So I haven't watched it probably in like 20 plus years. So definitely. And The Wrong Trousers, I remember the most vividly. Yeah. So.
Great theme tune as well.
Yes. Cheese Grommet.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
And then finally, we put the schedule out, and then Mr. Executive Producer, Mr. Shot in the Dark himself, John Cena, wait, but St. Patrick's Day is coming. You're not going to do Leprechaun in space? Like, fuck. Brayden,
so,
do you have any time this week to record another show?
I always have time for Leprechaun.
I guess so. I guess so. I think the accelerate key is going to be used for this one, but we will be fitting in Leprechaun 4, Leprechaun in Space, for to round off this month and to celebrate St. Patrick's Day.
Yes, St. Patrick's Day is next Sunday, so we'll probably have this show out this Friday night or something now, or something like that. We're recording it on Wednesday.
Yes.
So we'll have a Guinness and talk about some leprechauns in space.
Yes, absolutely.
Can't wait. I have
nothing more Irish than space.
there's definitely some jokes there.
We're doing two space things, because the Grand Day Out is Wallace and Gromit going to the moon.
They go to space?
It?
Oh, wow. The moon is cheese.
We need the hybrid of Wallace and Gromit and that little robot thing on the moon fighting Leprechaun.
Yeah, imagine someone who doesn't watch wrestling or anything just stumbles upon like the schedule that you've made, the image, and it's got Wallace and Gromit, Paul Heyman, Gritty
and the Fanatic,
and Rocky.
Are we getting Gritty at Mania?
Yeah.
I would love to see Gritty versus the Fanatic at Mania.
Gritty versus the Prime Bottle, KSI.
Yeah.
That could be the thing there. But yes, all these shows coming out in the next month, they're going to be so much fun. So check us out, patreon.com/poisonrana. I mentioned we are small-time creators. This is what we do, so support us. It's $5. And you don't just get these shows. You get everything that we've done in that back catalog. We just released a Was Next, chatting about some retro NXT.
Oh, yeah.
We just did a show. You mentioned the Sting show with Nate. We just did a review of The Crow. We do so many podcasts, and we're always there for your entertainment.
Yeah.
Wherever you may be. Whether you're on the road, in the shower, doesn't matter.
Or if we're on the road, we do have our road diaries up from last week. It was, this time last week we were at, Stumble Stiltskins?
That's right.
A Greensboro pub that sold poutine. We just didn't sleep last week. I'm still absolutely fucked up from that trip because, missing a whole day's of sleep and then going straight back into work. Straight back into recording, and then on top of that, losing an hour
last night
as I do my closing shift. I'm pretty beat up, but was it worth it? You're damn right it was worth it.
Yes.
And you can hear all about our trip to say goodbye to the Stinger on our Poison Rana Patreon.
Yes, if you haven't listened to some of the road diaries, including, I think the last, like the big last one was here on this feed, so you have to probably listen to that, but the one right after the event where we're like leaving and we couldn't get an Uber, we just kept having to walk in the middle of the night through Greensboro in the outskirts, and our friend Graham just being very drunk and very annoying. And then I'm pretty sure, I haven't listened back, but I'm pretty sure it's just like 5 minutes of us shitting on him and being like, shut up.
So why are we like,
my knees.
Both of us kept looking for an Uber. A, it was like $80 US for like a 10-minute drive. And B, they just weren't, like, coming. Like, they just keep on whirring around. So I personally would rather walk until you can get one or find a bar to sit in.
Which
or
we did.
Whatever, which we did, than just wait forever and get surge prices. But it's as if it's my fault that we're walking back to the hotel rather than driving.
So you can only get these road... I'm sure we're going to do a lot more of these come WrestleMania weekend. So yes, Patreon is a fun time. You want to hear the real in-depth stuff of where we are at random times, because we do it in bars. We've recorded them in bars next to people. We should just start talking to strangers and get them on the show as well. So, also a new addition to the Patreon, the Road Diaries.
I keep seeing those videos pop up on Instagram of just girls in the street going, "What would you rate me out of 10? Just do that to wrestling fans.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What would you rate me out of 10?
Just like, you just ask them different questions.
And what's
questions.
Your number?
Like, yeah. Should we be calling them Road Diaries or Toad Diaries?
Ooh.
The Road Toads.
I don't know. Will the frogs be upset with the toads?
Are they the same amphibian things?
Yeah, they're similar, but different.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Branavan in the chat saying Gritty should finish the story. Maybe that's what we get. We get, you know, bloodline rules. The Rock is about to take out Cody. Gritty steps in the ring, takes off the mask. It's Sylvester Stallone, punches Rocky in the face. Cody with the crossroads, 1, 2, 3. Everyone's crying. It's beautiful.
I am interested in what the Stallone thing. It has to be like the intro video, right?
It'll be at least the intro, but whether he's actually a part of the whole thing.
I haven't watched Rocky in a few years, so I'm excited to do that review. I do love that movie. So excited. Will Gritty be there? Let us know. Will you be there? Let us know if you're going to be in Philly, because we're going to be hitting up a ton of stuff. I mentioned the ECW tribute show. I'm going to be hitting up DDT. I know we're going to be looking at, the Hog versus Revolver show during the day on Friday. So
obviously NXT.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot going on.
Cheesesteaks.
Cheesesteaks, yes. Mm-hmm. Been watching all this cheesesteaks videos. Yeah. So we're prepped for this. I don't know if I'm lactose intolerant, but every time I have cheese, I seem to not have a great day. But
the thing
we'll
is, like, I mean, I've eaten cheese with you.
I eat a lot of fucking cheese.
It's not like you have
a slice.
Two slices of cheese, and then you're shitting all night. Yeah. You've had a brick of cheese and a pizza. Or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, you buy a lot of cheese sometimes, too.
I don't think it's lactose intolerant. I just think it's a bad diet.
Too much cheese. Yeah, maybe, possibly. So we'll see how that plays out in Philly. Well, there is a lot to talk about in the world of some pro wrestling. Obviously, NXT, you mentioned, we'll be back on Tuesday for the post-wrestling YouTube chat. So join us every Tuesday night after NXT. Tony D., winning the number one contendership. Yep. So that's official now. It is Drago versus Rocky IV at Philly. So I'm assuming that's kind of the story that they're going to go towards, leaning into that kind of movie, I'm sure.
Makes sense. Yeah, absolutely.
The Russian and the Italian going at it. Italian-American, I guess. So that's good. There's Trick is back as well. So there'll be a lot going on Tuesday. So join us for that as well. And then next Sunday is St. Patrick's Day. And I was like trying to think, like, what could we, because we're probably going to be going live. So this is if he's hearing this some way, I haven't messaged him yet, but our man Neil, you're Irish, right? I just heard you on SmackDown with Way. You sound pretty Irish. So I don't know how you're celebrating St. Patrick's Day, but around 2 p.m. Eastern time, maybe you're free and you can come hang out.
Yeah.
We'll get his thoughts on the leprechaun.
Yeah. I mean, he might be drunk at that point.
Good. That's what I think the time difference is, like,
it'll be
right?
7 p.m.
Yeah. So hopefully he's had a few Guinness and we can have him on. So that's
I
my
can wear my St. Patrick's Day shirt I bought at Target on the way back.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
It's a good one. So
I'll be wearing it Saturday night for sure when I'm working.
Yeah. So definitely check out next Sunday because it's St. Patrick's Day. So maybe you'll join us around 2 p.m.
Yeah.
Get your green beer.
Yeah, absolutely. The Rory Stevens in the chat says Davey should replace Kevin Kelly as ROH announcer.
Oh, yeah.
We start there with Kevin Kelly?
What about Scott D'Amore?
Oh, yeah. Shall I replace him as well?
Yeah, so Kevin Kelly, he said some things about Ian Riccaboni and then he got the boot.
Yeah, so I think it was last August, Ian Riccaboni on a Discord, I think he said he didn't quite realize how public Discord was, but kind of expressed disappointment with Kevin Kelly for promoting the film The Sound of Freedom, which is what, QAnon adjacent, and saying like the story is Riccaboni was offered the job of Collision and he turned it down because he wanted to be spending more time with his family and didn't want to be away every Saturday, and suggested Kevin Kelly, and then he was like, I kind of wish didn't do that because like he seems, you know, supporting these things. And Kevin Kelly kind of went on a bit of a tirade last week on Twitter. He's done it a couple of times where he's kind of been quite outspoken, like definitely towards the end of his New Japan run, even on his commentary he was kind of openly shitting on the product quite a bit. And but was basically saying like he was libeled by Riccoboni and he hasn't really been in the same favors ever since, and he's the best announcer out there that a lot of his peers would say, and he's just kind of been on the bench, and well, it led to him being fired.
Right. Yeah. When he was the English commentary for New Japan, just a few years ago, really, I thought he was really good. I thought he helped bring the newer audience who like, oh, should I try watching New Japan? Oh, they have English subtitles now. It helped bring in a lot of fans, right? Like he's been the voice for quite a while, and they shuffled around different people. And for me, I was like, wow, Kevin Kelly, you sound great. You were like the voice of New Japan for me because I would watch with English subtitles sometimes. And fast forward, his run in AEW, I have completely like the reverse thoughts, because I felt like he was totally checked out or didn't know what was going on.
100%.
Like, sounded like he didn't know things. He didn't know storylines. He also had a habit of making weird comments on air. There, I don't know if it was New Japan or AEW, but he mentioned something around the words, and I quote, the N-word. And I was like, sorry, what did you just say? It was so bizarre. So I felt like he hasn't been clicking for a while.
So I would say all of these tweets aside, his performances have been subpar, right? Like, I was saying, I quite enjoyed him for the most part on New Japan. Definitely towards the end, you could hear he was checked out and grumpy and, like, would not hide his disdain for House of Torture and stuff like that. But it was very clear, like, he, when talking about AEW stuff, he really didn't know. When he's talking about, like, a Moxley or a Jay White or someone who's been in New Japan that he's covered, he would bring up the facts. He'd be, oh, Jay White, he beat Tanahashi for the IWGP Championship. He's headlined Madison Square Garden stuff. But if it was against, like, someone who's just been AEW, he wouldn't know. And it's not good enough. Like, as fans, you expect your announcers to know more than you. Excalibur's great at it. Excalibur knows fucking everything. Mm. And clearly does his research. I think when Tom, what's his name, was in NXT. Yeah, Tom Hannifan went to Impact, and the first show he called, you were like, wow, this guy's clearly gone back and researched like 10 years worth.
I don't think he should have ever been let go by WWE.
No, I thought he was one of the best they had, but clearly like did his research, and that never came across. And then to have Tony Schiavone, who is already doing, you know, he has a lot of responsibilities backstage, he's doing Dynamite, he's doing Rampage, and now he's lead play-by-play of Collision, which probably isn't the role for him. When they're putting him in your spot and having you as the number three, it's not a good sign at all. So I thought, like, all of this Riccoboni stuff aside, like, yeah, he needed to either go or get a bit of a kick up the arse. And you would have thought moving to that third seat might have been the kick in the ass, whereas instead he's like, ah, you're just benching me and I'm one of the best.
Right.
And then you get into the like Riccoboni stuff as well. I do think I'd be interested if there've been any repercussions for Riccoboni as well, because I don't necessarily think that's cool.
Yeah.
Whether you believe it, like whether you agree with him or not, I don't necessarily agree with airing dirty laundry online. And his thing was like, oh, I didn't really realize it was this public, but you're still making those comments to people who are outside of the company. And so I like Riccoboni. I think he's
good.
Really good. Yeah. I kind of feel like maybe you should get some sort of punishment as well. But then I think it was the meltdown on Twitter that really cost Kevin Kelly. And I'll say, like, somewhat defend, like, I've not seen this movie, and I know actually when I was back home in the summer, my dad brought up, and my dad isn't fucking cute or anything like that, but him and his girlfriend was like, oh, we got these free tickets to this movie, The Sound of Freedom, and it was really good and really eye-opening. I didn't realize about all this. And you ask anyone, hey, do you support child sex trafficking? Absolutely fucking not.
Right.
But the people that know realize that, you know, people behind this film are have done some shitty things, and the people like pushing this stuff, and you know what, like, okay, it's child sex trafficking, but it's, you know, like the QAnon thing is saying like Democrats are involved and all this sort of weird shit.
Sure.
Not everyone who's seen the movie, especially if it's like, hey, do you want a day out and go see this movie for free? Yeah, sure. You're not necessarily aware of everything surrounding it. So
yeah,
I'd give Kevin Kelly like a little bit of the benefit of the doubt because of that. But I think probably the thing that cost it for him was being like, I'm the fucking best and I shouldn't be put on the bench and blah, 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 blah. Right. And Tony's like, all right, then fuck off.
Yeah, go back to Ring of Honor. Oh, wait.
Yeah.
I own that too. So maybe go back to New Japan, or he's done with that schedule. Like that must have sucked. He was in a different country, right? So
that's the problem. I don't see where he ends up.
After that.
Yeah.
Some other MLW.
Like, honestly, that's the only place I can think. Yeah. Like WWE, I don't think will touch him at this point. They've got enough announcers and people there like bringing up for that.
New Japan,
maybe doing like US based shows, but I really can't see that either at this point, especially as I said, the way he was kind of shitting on it on the way out.
I agree though. Like I do love Ian Riccaboni and have for a very long time actually, but I didn't agree with how, like, again, he's claiming, I didn't know this would get out kind of thing. I thought I was just messaging some private group and people can screenshot anything. Mm-hmm. So that's a thing, and I did at the time think that was kind of dirty. Like, oh, it's your, doesn't matter, it's your coworker and you're kind of outing. It came out, oh, I made a mistake, I didn't mean to do that. That happens, you know, whatever. But then the Kevin Kelly thing, so I do look at it as both sides. Maybe Kevin Kelly just watched this movie and was like, oh, I didn't know about all this stuff. Maybe he does, you know, look into other Q stuff, whatever. We don't know that, right? So it is kind of, I know many people are like, oh, have you seen this movie? You should go see it. And I'm like, hey, are you like this or this? And they're like, what are you talking about?
I've heard it's good.
Yeah,
you know, like people who've seen it, but you don't necessarily know,
yeah,
you know, how the sausage is made. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Like, so he was, you know, only doing commentary for one show, so it's, they can replace that.
Yeah. I just watched Collision and.
Yeah.
Like, I might have got to the end of the show if I ignored the internet for a week and finished it and be like, oh, Kevin Kelly wasn't there.
Yeah.
Like, he was that
insignificant
by the end of his run there.
Yeah, exactly. And again, like, I was a fan of him years ago when he was on top of his game, but he has not been. So it's really... Also, while on the subject, I had a buddy over. He's not the biggest wrestling fan, but he loves to, you know, watch crazy wrestling stuff. So I showed him Takeshita Osprey. He was like, oh my god, amazing. He's like, oh, let me watch the Sting match. JR on commentary for the Sting match, right? We were at the show. We didn't get to watch the commentary, right? Man, love JR. He's a legend. One of the, when I think of wrestling commentary, I fucking think of JR, Jim Ross, the fucking king of this shit. He needs to not do this anymore.
Oh wow.
I did not like that commentary. He was shitting on everything. He was like I didn't hear most of this from the people. We were there. I didn't get to hear the commentary. I watched the Sting match just yesterday night back. And I'm like, man, sounds like you don't even like this guy. Like, it just sounds like you shouldn't be here. You shouldn't be doing this. In my opinion, I'm sorry. I love him. He's my goat still. He's like, I think of wrestling, he is the guy. But right now, I think he's devaluing the product.
I've not rewatched the Sting match yet. It's something I really want to do. But I completely believe you because I've heard him be like that. It's one thing saying something on your podcast, like your opinions on wrestling. If your taste isn't, you know, everyone on the outside waiting for someone to dive, cool, that's justified. And on
ladders.
your own podcast where it's an opinion-based thing, cool. On TV, I feel even as a commentator, you are still a character. And your character should be to enhance the show and make whatever is in front of you look as good as possible. Even if you don't particularly enjoy what you're watching, your role is to enhance it. You know, it's like adding music to a film. It's the music there is meant to make what the actors are doing feel even more emotional, and like it adds color to it. And just shitting on it, it's like, I mean, it's been clear with him, he's been demoted. And I think this new deal, which by the sounds of it, I imagine Tony Khan's paying him quite nicely, and it sounds like he's just basically going to be doing this. The odd,
it's like, hey, big matches.
The odd pay-per-view match, and I think that's just a respect thing from Tony Khan. It's only for a year. I imagine it's going to keep on being these year-long contracts, but his duties are going to be really reduced.
It's just when it's apparent, like Excalibur is just like on air, has to be like, right, okay.
Yeah.
And then has to like quickly try to go somewhere else with what JR was talking about, like multiple times. Yeah. Like, dude, like I'm all for it. Again, he's like the voice of wrestling to me, but I think he should not be doing this.
I think it's also not putting the work in as well anymore. Like just little examples.
Can't just show
like
up.
Minoru Suzuki coming out and it's his song and it's going to be Cousin Inare on the apron and he's like, oh, Minoru Suzuki.
Did he play football?
Yeah. Oh, he was, Bumasuna.
It really was apparent just rewatching the Sting match. And I didn't hear this feedback from like any of our friends or listeners or any other shows or whatever, but just watching it last night, I was like, oh my God, like, holy shit, can you shut up? Like,
it's so, like, going back and doing the best match ever, Sting, and hearing some of his calls for those
so
early
good.
NWA matches. And obviously, he's younger, so his voice is a little
higher
in pitch, but just the excitement and the energy.
The vigor.
Whereas he does sound like an old man in his armchair watching wrestling and.
Yeah. It sounds like when you have like your uncle or your grandpa over who's blatantly told you wrestling's fucking stupid.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, 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 grandpa, please, let me show you this. And he's not liking it still.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, watch it because you're making me watch it. That's what it sounds like every time. And I'm like, all right, I think he can like put the hat up. Do one more WWE match. It should have been Austin's last match. If Austin wrestles again, JR, do that. And just like I love him so much, but he made me like angry.
I think Nigel's been great in.
Yeah,
I think he definitely adds like makes Collision feel different with his voice, and I've enjoyed him when he's on the pay per views. Like I think he can bounce off of anyone really.
He's
well
pretty fun
and adds the color. Obviously, play by play is a little different from that, but
yeah,
they've got great announcers there. Taz is great. Excalibur, obviously. Tony Schiavone, as maybe he doesn't know the name of every single move, but just his enthusiasm, and he definitely wants to like lift the product all the time. It's infectious, and it comes across. But yeah, I'd say the same about some of the wrestlers. Like there are so many good wrestlers in this company now. If you don't want to be there, go. Like I'm bored of seeing Miro pop up and every now and then. I'm bored
lost.
Of Aleister Black showing up. Like fuck off.
Yeah.
Like you see someone like a Kyle Fletcher put on an incredible main event match with Ospreay on TV. It's like, let's focus on this guy as well. Let's focus on your Garcias and things. Miro, like Black, if you want to go to WWE, fucking leave. Like, why are we giving them a paycheck?
Yeah, there's a bunch of wrestlers around this time, right? Like AEW has had like a topsy-turvy time in the past year or so. Like, yeah, business is up, but they're still like bouncing around and having hard time getting people in the crowds and everything, right? But like there is apparent like people who are like, do you even really want to like be here? Do you really like this?
And
do you want to level up?
Sometimes you got to eat a bit of shit as well. Think of Swerve. Like Swerve's been in the company a couple of years now. He's, you know, been put in a tag team when maybe you're going, oh, shouldn't he be in a singles? He's eaten a lot of pins, but he's been regularly featured on TV and people have gravitated to him because of that. Same with someone like Garcia. Garcia was, you know, hot, then like really cooled off, but kept on doing what was asked of him, and now he seems to be getting that push again. Whereas, you know, if stories are true with a Miro or a Andrade or a Malakai Black, where it's, oh, I want to keep my mystique and don't want to be pinned so much, well, you got zero mystique being sat at home and not being on my TV set.
Yeah.
And now Swerve will probably be world champion by the end of the year.
Yeah.
Whereas I think Miro could have potentially had a killer run. Like, if you look at his TNT run, you could have absolutely transitioned that to at least challenging for a world title.
Yeah.
But reasons. And not say we know anything, but it does come across that way with some of these former WWE stars who have come over who maybe think they are entitled to something more than they're getting.
Right. Classic wrestling where they jump ship, right? going to the grass isn't always greener.
Yeah.
And all that sort of thing. But right now it's a good time to be wrestling. Like whether you're on AEW, WWE, fuck, even Impact. I mean, maybe not in that last week's show. Like I feel for TNA so bad because it's like we're changing our name back. We're going back to our roots. Right away, get rid of Scott D'Amore. And then still have the obligation to do the sacrifice show in his backyard in Windsor, which must have been super awkward, right? And
it just, they were so down in like the dumps for years. And Scott D'Amore really put some goodwill back in that company. They slowly, gradually built themselves up where, sure, it's still the number three promotion and there's so much wrestling to watch that it's still going to be hard to get those fans when you're just oversaturated with wrestling at this point. But people that watched it generally seemed to like the product. They had good people on their roster. Everyone seemed to like Scott D'Amore. We're like, we're going back to TNA. And then they're like, ah, shall we just fuck it up again? It's bizarre.
So I'm watching SmackDown with you. We had some friends over. We were chilling. And then we're like, oh, there was a TNA pay-per-view. Like, hey, let's throw it on. First few seconds, it's fucking Top Dollar. I'm like, all right, this is not going so great. Yeah, I was like, this isn't going great. I'm like, let's fast forward. Fast forward. Oh, Dolph Ziggler. Match has problems throughout the whole thing. No one even got to see the fucking match. Yeah. So I turned it off.
And then there's PCOV Con.
Turned it off.
Yeah.
Turned it off. So fuck that owl. And hourglass emoji for a lot of these wrestlers. Like, if I'm some of these guys, you know, you'd be like, when the fuck can I get out of here?
I mean, yes, certainly your Josh Alexander's and your Jordan Grace.
We need the North.
Like, Jordan Grace will go to WWE, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Or even, like, you know, if with Mercedes coming to AEW this coming week, they're going to be putting a lot of attention on this women's division again.
Yeah.
So, like, that could be attractive to a Jordan Grace as well. Josh Alexander definitely, like, maybe a New Japan run would be good for him something. But yeah, I think a lot of people are going to be jumping as soon as their contracts are over.
Like, I'm you know, I'm always joking around and everything, but I definitely don't believe any of the hype when anyone is like, oh no, you just don't watch Impact. You just don't watch it. You don't understand. And it's like, every time I've tried to watch it, it looks bad.
My issue with it is, when I'm trying to watch it, is it reminds me of when we go and watch those, like, you know, 1998 WWE pay-per-views, where you'll have like a really good main event and maybe another really good mid-card match, and then you got like Midian versus, like, you've got some trash.
Sounds great.
And that's the thing. It's like, I think, you know, you're Josh Alexander's, you're your ABCs, Grizzled Young Vets, Jordan Grace, like, they've got like stellar talent there.
Yeah.
But I really don't want to sit through an 8-man tag with PCO, Eddie Edwards,
and his wife, is they going to be there?
And like all of them, like Rhino, Tommy Dreamer, like, no, like, get rid of that.
Yeah.
Get rid of that.
But if they don't,
it drags it down and makes it seem tackier for me.
It sucks. Like, they're still doing shows, they still need people to come, and those people do still somewhat bring people, I guess, right? Mm-hmm. More than some others, right? But it's a tough watch for me anytime I've tried to watch it, and I cherry pick here and there, but like, oh man, like just yesterday, it's like, let me give it a shot. Technical issues again.
Yeah.
And like,
how is that happening?
Yeah,
like
nah,
today
I just went, nope. I remembered why I don't watch this. And again, to anyone who does and loves it, look, I'm not shitting on you at all. Wrestling is fucking amazing, and all wrestling is great. Whether you watch MLW, Ring of Honor, or whatever the hell, like, fucking wrestling's great. And there's so much wrestling that no matter what, as wrestling fans, you could be like, was there wrestling on tonight? I need something to watch. I'm going to go to sleep. What should I watch? There's always fucking wrestling, so they're always there for you. And I'm being negative about certain things, but I'm like, I tried. I literally was like, let's give it a shot, and they couldn't get it together. So maybe Scott D'Amore was the glue of this.
Yeah,
like, he seemed to really care about it, and then they just stripped away. Is like, it'll be telling if a lot of them leave in the next little while.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Killer Kelly though dropped. She's a champion and recently won the tag titles, and then now dropped the titles and like beat up, or they split up the team.
Okay.
I'm wondering if she's leaving, because I need Killer Kelly in NXT.
she's someone I'm really surprised hasn't been a bigger deal than she was. She was in, was it the second Mae Young Classic?
I think
or something? So we're talking, you know, we covered that in our first year together. So we're talking 6 years, give or take, since that Mae Young Classic. And I saw big things for her, and she kind of just, you know, didn't sign with WWE, floated around. Even when she first went to TNA, she was jobbing. I've definitely seen bigger things for her. So maybe if she is on the way out, she can be someone to, come to NXT or something.
I would really like that. She has stepped up in some of the matches and stuff that I've seen from her. Like, I've been a fan, but also WWE's trying to get, you know, hey, we need some more British people. We need some more, you know, this. They don't have anyone Portuguese.
Yeah.
And as a pork chop, where the hell is my Portuguese?
Backlash in Lisbon.
Let's go.
2026.
Exactly. You know, and there's some fresh matches like a Rhea Ripley versus Killer Kelly could be amazing. Mm. There's some stuff there. So I'm just kind of like looking at it like, hey, is there a reason she dropped the title this quick? Is there a reason maybe she's going to leave? So I don't know. I think WWE NXT would be a great place for her in the next little while. So maybe that's something to see, but nothing official. I'm just kind of guessing.
Where should we go to next? WWE or AEW?
Yeah, let's start with the Fed.
Okay.
Start with New York. It was a pretty big week for WWE. I mean, it seems like every week on the way to WrestleMania, the past few weeks have been pretty crazy. I've seen wrestling everywhere. I see it mentioned in the news a lot more. As soon as The Rock showed up on TV, I'm seeing it in news covering wrestling. It's so silly.
The bar I work at, the owner's son,
right,
was talking to me yesterday. He was like, what's going on with The Rock?
Yeah.
I just put the posters up for our watch party
at
the bar. And he's like, what's going on with The Rock? I go on his Instagram and he's wearing a cowboy hat talking shit about dogs. I'm like,
Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, so last week we were driving back from our trip to Greensboro and we were like, oh, let's play. Now we have time to just play the 30-minute promo from The Rock. So
took us through Virginia all the way to Pennsylvania.
So this week he put out as suspected, I think he's going to do this every week.
Yeah.
And he put out, this one was shorter. It was 11 minutes.
Yeah.
And here in Dallas, somewhere in one of the horse like arenas there, and he's got his cowboy hat on, and oh man, this was his best one so far. I mean, this was great. From wearing the cowboy hat, mentioning Dallas, to then once again shitting on Pharaoh, Cody's dog, quoting The Jerk, the movie with Steve Martin, your dog shithead.
Yeah.
Your goofy ass dog shithead is what he called him. Oh man, getting the heat. Making fun of the guy's dog. But yeah, I really liked this promo from The Rock, which then got me like excited for his segment from SmackDown. And we both actually were off Friday, so we were like, oh, should we like watch this? And I felt like a lot of people were really excited to see this like face-to-face. And now the match having it being official. Yeah, which is a big thing. The Rock is wrestling night one of WrestleMania. That's a pretty big deal. And like I said, news coverage of this is insane.
Yeah, like it's definitely getting the buzz. I like that this has stipulations in it, like consequences for night two. I think it sets up both ways. Like, okay, the stipulation being if Seth and Cody win, it's a clean fight, no bloodline, night two. That's something I could definitely see being a plausible thing. You know, Cody getting his clean match and winning it. Or it could be the other way around with bloodline rules and Cody still has to overcome all that. You could have the Avengers come out, you know, your Kevins, your
Sammys,
all of them. But I think it gives two viable options. I also like adding the Cody stipulation from AEW.
Yeah.
If he doesn't win, he can never challenge again. It's like a nice little detail to add and call back to those who know. But yeah, The Rock has just been incredible in this role. Like you forget at times how good this guy is, which is crazy to say. But I think just for so many years, he was just hitting the nostalgia notes, which is cool. If you're a wrestling fan, you've grown up, you've gone to a SmackDown and The Rock comes out. Yeah, you want to hear him do all the catchphrases. But for an actual story, this is adding so much to it. And I think it has... Cody's always great, but I actually thought on SmackDown it brought out the best of Seth. Like the diarrhea Dwayne, as awful as it was on Monday, it came into play on Friday, and I kind of liked how Seth was laughing like, holy shit, it got over. But I thought Seth really stepped up this week on SmackDown, and that was something he absolutely needed to do. And, you know, you're going toe-to-toe with The Rock, like, one of, if not the best to do it on the mic,
yeah,
and holding your own. I say bravo to that.
Yeah, he absolutely stepped up. The Mr. Midlife Crisis line.
Yeah.
Like, he interrupted him and basically was like, no, stop talking. I'm in this match because I'm defending this generation of wrestling. Like, you think you can just come in here and do all this? Like, I thought he really stepped up, especially that one line. But The Rock definitely always having one-liners in his pocket for fucking days. Like, any second, this guy can pull out a catchphrase that could be put on a shirt.
Yep.
But the stuff where he keeps mentioning the gospel, they drop the gospel on you. During his video with the cowboy hat on, one of the best fucking disses, if you want to call it, whatever, best lines I've heard in quite a long time is, off is the direction you can fuck.
Yeah.
Which is just fucking great. And then he's like running down Cody, and he's like, he tells Cody to shut up. And then, like, as Seth is standing there, and then he looks at Seth, he's like, and you can shut up too, even though you haven't talked yet.
Yeah.
Shut up. Which I thought was very funny.
And a good fella in the chat is saying Rock's Black Adam entrance was fire.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Yeah. Like, I like that they've changed his entrance up a bit. The music is still the same, but, like, I like the little tweaks making him even more, like, you know, just ridiculous, over the top. It's going to look incredible in the stadium coming out.
Too bad it wasn't last year's Mania, because he would have had the Hollywood theme, right?
True,
He could still use it, but...
It was a shame. Like, I see the criticisms. It's, what, 13 minutes worth of entrances, and then they run out of time at the end. But I kind of liked the... leaving on a high.
Yeah.
You know, like, Cody gets the slap in, and then it's done, and you're like, whoa, what happened next? You're looking to see fan footage online about, okay, what happened after it went off air.
Right, right.
Yeah, they ran out of time, but I thought it gave it this sort of excitement to it for me.
One of my favorite WWE segments in years. Like, the last time I felt... I really enjoyed the Seth CM Punk face-to-face. I thought that was, like, again, bringing the best out of Seth, who doesn't come to mind as, like, a promo guy to me, which then leads to this somehow. Like, how did Seth get here in the first place, right? Like, it's pretty crazy, but I thought he really stepped it up.
I mean, he is... I think they can play into it more, but it's the idea now of, you know, The Rock dropping that he's, you know, TKO, Board of Directors, all that. It's... the machine against these guys.
Right.
And Seth is Triple H's avatar as well. And you've got the beef and the history between Triple H and The Rock. So looking at everyone on the roster, like, yeah, Seth makes complete sense. But he's got the biggest work to do justifying him, his place in this. And I thought, you know, the line of, you've had your time, you're not taking away hours, that kind of thing is like, yes, that's what we need more of from you.
Sure.
Because Cody, we've said it, for years he could read a fucking phone book and you're like, yeah, I'm down.
I believe you. I vote
Seth
for you.
Seth is very hit and miss, but when he's dialed in and clearly, like, you know, passionate about something and there's some maybe truth in his words, I think he sounds very good.
I really love this segment. It got me really hyped up for the match. It got me hyped up. I'm like, when are they gonna do this again? We got it. There's only a few weeks. There should be at least one more, like, four of them in the ring together again.
Are we getting The Rock Show next week?
Next week they're in Tennessee. Are they in Memphis, Tennessee?
They're
somewhere.
Memphis,
somewhere there. So the Rock concert should return, and he should, you know, make fun of these guys, sing on these guys.
Now, I've seen a lot of criticism about, we've talked about three guys there, we haven't talked about the Universal Champion.
That's right.
Roman, who did definitely come across as the afterthought. Do you think that's a deliberate thing?
Yeah, the beginning of the promo when Roman was talking, he, like, goes to say, like, acknowledge me. And then he, like, looks at The Rock. They shake hands. They hug each other. And he goes, acknowledge us. So they're purposely, like, having something going on, right? Like, teasing. And, of course, fans are speculating that The Rock is an inside agent, double agent here. He's only doing this to fuck with Roman and get over, like, whatever. I'm just enjoying the ride right now. And definitely, like, everything is hitting full speed. And I still think Roman like, it's kind of like, well, The Rock hasn't been here for a while, so maybe we can let him talk a bit.
But. Also, Roman's, like aura isn't from talking a whole lot. It's, think, his whole thing with the bloodline has often been, you know, Jimmy or Jay going off and Roman giving this death stare, or you're always wondering what he's thinking. Like,
yeah.
He's not necessarily someone who's talking you into the matches. It's oh shit, he's gonna snap at some point, and
right.
what's going on? So I don't mind it. Like, it's a complete mistake if, you know, this match happens, The Rock leaves, there's no payoff. But yeah, I there's feel this is leading yeah. to, you know, you keep seeing Roman's like looking at The Rock when he's going off.
Yeah.
And we know that is the match they want to do, and they will do down the line. Rock and Roman, like, as long as everyone's healthy and no injuries and stuff, we'll be getting that match in the year, whether it's next Mania or whatever. So I think this is the right way to play it, with him just being a bit more of a background player.
I can see maybe people saying that he is like somewhat of, now he's just like the lackey to The Rock, but I still think it looks crazy seeing Roman Reigns and The Rock in the form of Roman in the past 3 years. Like, this character now with The Rock is like, well, this is crazy. Because last year, when it was the Sami Zayn bloodline, everyone is like, wow, this is, it can't get better than this. And then it really was dragging. And then Paul Heyman's like, no, this is just the beginning of the third or whatever. Yeah. And then now it's really kicking in. It's like, wow, like, I do think this is some of the best stuff WWE has done in quite a while. And I'll just reiterate, as like The Rock, like, I couldn't give really a shit about The Rock for a while, until he came out and instantly called a bunch of people crackheads. And I was like, wait a second, hold on a second. And now I'm like, I have to watch everything this guy's doing. So they really got me on that. But they're firing on all cylinders. I don't know if I saw too much of the criticism of the line from Roman Reigns calling Seth Rollins a cross-dresser. I quickly looked today to be like, were people upset about this? Were the snowflakes very upset? I'm like, okay. Like, for me, when he said it, I laughed out loud, because for weeks he's been saying, you come to work dressed as your wife.
Yeah.
You're wearing your wife's clothes. It's pretty much the same thing he's been saying.
Yeah.
He didn't call him a bad word. He didn't call him necessarily, like, you know, there's a few other things that he could have said that they maybe would have censored. So I'm maybe, like, on the side of the fence that what he said wasn't necessarily, like, that bad, considering the guy does come out dressed in certain crazy things sometimes. I'm like, okay, right? But I could also see some people being a bit mad, but then I remind myself that this is wrestling and it's fake, so.
Yeah, I'm, like, it's one of those things, like, I'm not, like, in the LGBTQ community or whatever, so it's not my place to really get offended or not offended. I feel most of the time WWE is quite careful, and I think this is maybe a word that you wouldn't want to risk, because it could potentially offend people. And I did feel after Roman said it, he almost paused a bit,
like oh, fuck.
Shit, should I have said that? But I mean, the dude is dressed in women's clothes most of the time, you know, like, so
I did like his fit, though. It was a bad time to use that line, because I was like, actually, I do like that jacket,
so. Yeah, so as I said, it was something when he said, it's like, oh, there's gonna be blowback. I didn't see a whole lot of it. I just think maybe it's just safer to not say it, but
I
it's also, as you say, it's scripted. It's entertainment.
Yeah.
It's, this isn't real life. These are characters.
I don't know. No one. I haven't seen anything that you know, that negative to it. Again, what he said, it wasn't necessary. He didn't go out there and call him like a slur or anything, right? Like, the guy just said, you wear your wife's clothes.
Yeah,
he said it a few times already. So. I don't know. I mean, it's fucking wrestling. Like, I've dabbled my toes into watching UFC again here and there this past year.
Yeah.
Bad time to do that, because the shit you hear on other things, the movies I go and watch, I hear way worse things, and it's scripted in the movie for a message. Yeah. It's like, fuck. So I think some people these days can be a little soft. And I haven't seen anything, and I'm totally not the right person to be like, I wasn't offended by this.
Yeah.
But, so I totally understand. But yeah, it was a wrestling promo where the bad guy said a bad guy thing, and the crowd booed, and we're like, ooh, should he have said that kind of thing? So maybe kind of crossing the line. I don't really think so, at least in my opinion.
Cody kind of had a, like,
Look, yeah, he was like, ooh, brother, maybe you shouldn't have said that one.
You've had one line in this whole thing between us all.
It was that one? Okay. Yeah.
What else from WWE?
I mean, that was awesome. From the entrances, again, The Rock looking like an absolute megastar with the Thor lightning, Black Adam, I guess, lightning, to Cody and Seth coming out like the Shield through the crowd, or the People's Champions, because they're like the new generation. Yeah. That's the thing, right? It's kind of funny that it matches.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, doing the Shield thing,
and The Rock, right?
I mean, that's the other connection, obviously, with Seth. Yeah. And I think there's, you know, that's also something you could think of. Could Seth screw Cody? I don't think so with the Drew match being.
I really hope that's not the case. But like, I really hope that's not the case. Yeah, I really hope that it's set. Like, okay, you've been going off for weeks that saying Seth is going to pin The Rock, which every week goes by, you're like, oh, I don't know if that's the case.
With the Bloodline rules thing, I kind of think you're going to have winning. Everything stacked against Cody, and you can really have, you know, Roman's rogue gallery potentially come out to eventually have that moment with Cody overcoming it.
Yeah, I'd say Rock pins Cody is how I'd go.
I think that probably makes most sense.
Because then one day they could fight.
Then it sets up Rock, Cody, and Saudi.
I mean, whatever. I mean, look, everyone's so fixated on, will Cody finish the story? Yeah, he's going to finish the story. The problem is, he's also going to finish The Rock story in Saudi just a few months later, because he's dropping that title.
I mean, that's where you... Oh, you think he's dropping it to The Rock?
I think we're getting Rock versus Cody in Saudi Mania.
I think we'll get Rock Cody at Saudi.
Yeah.
But I could potentially see Roman screwing Rock there to set up.
It should be The Rock screws Roman to help Cody win, right? Yeah. Like, The Rock said it in this promo. The Rock, in for years, has mentioned how much he fucking loved Dusty Rhodes, and now having a program with Cody Rhodes is probably something that was like, this guy's killing it, I need to be involved in this. Like, it is well known he was a huge Dusty guy, so this is it, there's a lot of different things. So The Rock helping Cody win would be pretty cool, like that, how it he turns on Roman being like, actually I was just fucking with you, and I'll fight you next year, and boom, you got the WrestleMania match set up next year, whether it's in Vegas or in the middle of fucking nowhere in Minneapolis. If that's the rumor still going, I'm like, wait, what? I thought it was Vegas. You see that? There's talks.
They've talked about Minneapolis for a while for Mania as well. Yeah. So
what are they gonna? Who are they gonna cheer for?
When
Minneapolis, they ain't gonna be Brock.
No.
So I'm loving like this whole storyline.
Yeah. Other stuff I've been really liking in WWE and is just character progression and how you're not kind of, all right, I'm a babyface now and that old character doesn't exist. I quite enjoyed the Bayley sit down. I don't think this story has been cooking quite as much as I'd like it.
Yeah.
Especially it being, you know, Io, who's one of our favorites, and Bayley, who I really feel deserves this moment as well. But I did like her sit down where kind of justifying why she's been a dick the last few years, and it kind of being her saying, I wanted the attention. And yeah, when you think of the four horsewomen, Bayley was probably number four. And therefore, how did she start making herself more prominent is creating damage control and just being a dick to everyone, and her realizing the errors of her ways, and then moving to, you know, Bianca and Naomi watching it, with Bianca being like, fuck that. She, like, made my life hell for 18 months. Like, no, I'm not forgiving. I like it so much more. We're seeing that with Drew with his heel turn right now, how it's justified. And the, like, the Raw roster gradually accepting Jey Uso and him repenting for his actions and all that. It makes so much more sense. And it's something you do way more in scripted TV rather than, you know, in wrestling it tends to be, I'll give you a hug now, and now I'm a good guy.
Yeah, it happens a lot.
So I wonder where we're going with, is it Bianca and Naomi teaming?
Yeah.
Against Damage Control for the titles?
Yeah, we hung out and watched SmackDown, and I thought it was kind of strange that they had Bianca shitting on Bayley when, like, the storyline is like, hey, I'm actually sorry, and Bianca's like, nah, fuck her, she's a bitch. And And who's she talking to? Naomi. Naomi's like, no, like, and Bianca's like, yeah, well, you weren't here, so
yeah,
you would have been beat up too and stuff, which made me go, are they turning Bianca? Which is strange because she's like just speaking truth.
I don't think so. I think maybe it's a slow build to get Bianca to finally accept Bailey, and maybe Bailey, you know, maybe Bailey helps Bianca win something, or like. But I wonder if we go into the tag match between them. Asuka and Kairi against Bianca and Naomi.
Oh, okay.
Or whether you do like find another woman as well and do a six woman.
Or yeah, I thought we were getting Tiffany versus Bianca.
That's the other thing as well. In which case, where does Naomi fit in?
Yeah. Already she's come back and lost.
Yeah, she feels pretty insignificant quickly, but this segment made you think, okay, there's some sort of direction and they're going to be tied in with Damage Control.
Yeah, or maybe they convince Bianca, like, hey, Bailey isn't so bad anymore or something like that, because that's kind of the way they're going.
But you feel Bianca should have a big match. She's been pretty prominent
the
last 3 years, right?
Yeah, and that's why I think Tiff, because like right away, Tiffany has just exploded.
That gives me more interest,
absolutely. Yeah.
And I think they could put on something pretty, pretty cool.
Yeah, Tiff should be champion like this year. She's having the quickest rise. Like the crowd instantly going off, cheering for her, hitting picture-perfect moonsaults. Like she's killing it, so... Definitely looking forward. If that was the match, Bianca and Tiff, like, yeah, Tiffy time.
Yep.
For sure. Other things from this week, what about the Prime bottle?
Oh, boy, yeah.
Man, this is causing us quite a stir because I see it from both ways. It's like, wow, you know, there's all this empty canvas here. You could be making some extra money. We see other promotions. Never forget New Japan, always Lawson in the corners, AEW, DraftKings, but they never put it right in the middle.
Yeah.
And WWE's never done that. And Logan Paul revealing that he has signed the biggest deal, having WWE put their first ever canvas middle of the ring advertisement, starting at WrestleMania and every PLE going forward.
Yeah, that's pretty big.
Forbes put out an article on this just yesterday, basically being like, this is a
legit,
big deal.
It's not a story, yeah. I think this is something that has been kind of talked about. We knew this was coming. Nick Khan saying, look, there's all this real estate in the middle of the ring that hasn't been used. It's always been a Vince thing to have a clean canvas.
This is a one dig at Vince.
TKO, like it's just money left on the table to like not do it. It's great for like a heel character as well, I think. Aesthetically, I prefer just the letters of Prime rather than the actual bottle.
Yeah.
The bottle looks like you know, Cody pinning Roman on top of this thing like to finish his story on this.
Have you seen
big
this
ice pop bottle of Prime? Or whatever.
This guy on Twitter, I'm sorry, I forget who it was, but they basically did, hey, I'm recreating huge moments in WWE history and photoshopping in Prime. The Prime. And it's like, oh man, like Austin passing out at Mania with the Prime bottle. Yeah. Undertaker looking down at Mick Foley, the Prime bottle. It's going to be
loud. I wonder if this is going to be the exact design we end up seeing. I hope they make it like a little, you know, just a little nicer. But, you know, literally every other sport does this.
Yeah, yeah.
Every other sport has sponsors everywhere.
Even on jerseys.
Jerseys,
do it, right?
Like on the screen, on the, you know, the banners going around, everything has sponsors. So it was only a matter of time. It's going to take getting used to, because we've been watching WWE for like, fuck, some people 30, 40 years.
Yeah.
Just this clean.
I do just wish they just put it in the corners like everyone else.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like prime. Yeah.
I think it would have been
nice. As I said, just even the letters Prime wouldn't look quite as bad. But
so like originally I was like, oh, this is a storyline and, you know, Kevin and Randy will beat him at Mania and the stip will be like, you don't get this. But no, it's like, no, he signed this crazy deal. I just think it will look silly when you have big moments and it's like right there. But
so what do you think the match is?
Yeah, they teased Kevin Owens and Randy Orton like as a unit. So would their team be RKO? But then KSI and Logan Paul like can't both handle a match with Owens and Orton.
We really don't know what KSI.
He got RKO'd, but I feel like maybe a triple threat for the US title. Owens, Randy.
Yeah, and, that makes sense.
Right?
Yeah. So, like, I could see them doing the tag, potentially, but yeah. I maybe see it more likely, yeah, triple threat.
Yeah.
Maybe it's, yeah, KSI or Jeff dressed as Gritty.
That's that. Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But, or RKO-KO is what Branovan suggested.
RKO-KO.
But yeah, definitely interesting seeing KSI's involvement. He's someone who isn't quite as big, like, stateside, but he's fucking huge in the UK. Like,
right,
he's
okay.
He's a pretty big name as well to have involved. And, like, Logan can obviously take majority of the match if it is a tag. And, you know, these Mania matches, they practice to death. So.
Or he's also boys with, like, he's somewhat in a team with the other dickheads, Austin Theory and Grayson Waller.
True.
So, like, you could add, like, a 2-1, you know, 4 or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, you could do that.
Right. Because those guys need something to do. Because they don't usually do too much except lose on TV a lot lately. But Waller's pretty funny. Austin Theory just takes good stunners and RKOs. And
yeah.
Don't really know what else he does. But, yeah, that's probably where those guys are kind of shifting.
Yeah, I can
see
that.
While on the topic, Legado. They beat the hell out of Dragon Lee. And then the commentary are like, oh, yeah, Ella, the other guys were here this week. It's like, well, Dragon Lee, maybe you shouldn't have went out there when you saw 5 guys ringside.
Yeah.
Get your ass beat.
He hasn't been booked for a while.
I did love that they're like, oh, look, he's dressed like a little kid dressed as Rey Mysterio. And I was like, you do legit look like that.
I thought this was probably the best match on SmackDown this week.
Yeah. There's not a whole lot of wrestling on SmackDown.
Angel's someone who we really liked in his NXT run, remember, like his Cruiserweight championship run and all that. And has never really shown off completely what he's been capable of on main roster. But I thought this match was good. Do you see it being the singles match or a multi-man?
I kind of just want the factions to go against each other. I think you'd get everyone on WrestleMania. You'd have Rey Mysterio entrance. You'd still get Rey Mysterio wrestling. You'd still get everyone to get a little bit. And I think that'd be
And then you could
the
do
right
the
way.
Singles match at Backlash or
something.
But,
Or it's a singles match and the teams are ringside, like either way.
I mean, it's something if you did like singles, no DQ, you can always think like when you had those singles matches before that also got, it was Cena versus Wyatt, wasn't it? But you also had the Usos and Harper and Rowan doing their own shit.
Yeah.
They kind of be involved, but they're not in the match.
Yeah.
You could do that kind of thing.
But I wouldn't, there's already a lot of other singles matches already announced and like to be announced, I would imagine. So this one would make sense if it was like a multi-match.
It depends how much you want to elevate Escobar. Because if you really want to push him as a serious thing, I'd say go for the singles.
Right.
Or, yeah. I mean, do we do any more of these night one affects night two?
Yeah.
You know, if you had Legado v you could do a mixed 6-man tag, you know, Elektra with Legado and Zelina with LWO, and whoever wins adds a stip to night two or something. Like, there's more of that you could maybe play with.
Yeah, I don't know. I would like to see these guys get their Mania match and moment in not just Rey and Santos, but either way, I think both matches would be pretty good because LWO and Legado, like, they could do some crazy stuff that gets like big reactions in this stadium, and maybe make it a crazy, like, almost like the, what does AEW do?
Stadium stuff.
Yeah. Something like that kind of thing. Right. Yeah. With the Lucha guys jumping off stuff. Like, who knows what, who does the, is it Del Toro who pulls the rope and the other guy Wild goes flying? Like, who knows what he could, you know, potentially do. So I'm going to stick with, I want to see them all get their moment. With the multi-man.
Cool.
Anything else that happened? You kind of mentioned the Bayley thing. I didn't mention that. I am kind of not as hot on it, but I do think Bayley and Io having the match will be good.
I'm hoping it's one of those things kind of like when we got Sasha Bianca, where the story was actually kind of shitty. And then you forget all about the build once the match happens.
The build is Sasha Banks comes back to save her best friend from an evil team. And
yeah, like she's said she's going to go back to WWE one day, so let's see how long this contract is.
Yeah, let's see
is
how
it
long
big she, business to like April 5th.
Let's see how long she lasts in AEW before she walks out and goes to back to WWE for this storyline. She's saying that in an interview is like, well, not
you haven't even debuted.
Yeah, like fuck, it's made it so secondary. Like, I'd be pissed if I was Tony Khan. Like, really, that's what you're saying?
Yeah.
I mean, she can't promote AEW, but she pretty much said, yeah, I'm going here for a while and then I'll be back, though. Be back once they figure me out.
We talked a little bit about Raw on Tuesday, but I am excited for this this gauntlet match we've got going on to determine Gunther's opponent.
Yes, which I imagine is Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn versus Gunther.
That makes a whole lot of sense. Shame for Chad Gable, because I think he's killing it as well. But I think Sami, you know, the biggest star, and he's doing his old Rocky story. Could be the one to dethrone.
Yeah, Gunther. I think so. Yeah, give Sami a moment, let him win the IC title, and then post-Mania, like, if we're going Cody as champ, you have Gunther right there. Like, yeah, that is a
exactly.
huge program.
That's a big match you could go to.
Yeah, some big matches with Cody defending, and then Gunther going into that role as well. So, yeah, I hope it is Sami, and I think that match could be a show stealer.
Absolutely.
So, definitely looking forward to that. That's a dream match right there.
Yeah.
So,
it's going to be a stack mania so far.
So anything else that you think they might add to the show? Because right now we have certain things in place, but like, what else is kind of like, if a Gable isn't in that match, like, you'd imagine he's in what if they do another multi-tag match or battle royal or something?
It's I can't remember who said it. Someone was mentioning the other day, I wonder if you do just a, instead of like a battle royal or something, a match to get as many people on the show of Raw v SmackDown with like the Pierce and and Aldis, just a way to do like a 5-on-5 tag match. I remember last year's, you know, the 4-way like exhibition was just surprisingly really fun.
Yeah,
and I think if they could do something like that again, just you're shoehorning people in, but maybe add a stip of, you know, first draft pick or whatever.
Well, there is this, they keep teasing the tag thing with this week, Bate and Butch, Pete Dunne, were talking about like, oh, we got to figure out this tag tournament. So maybe there's some sort of thing that happens.
Ladder match.
Yeah, multi-tag ladder match.
The
kind of thing.
Awesome Truth, Judgment Day, Bate and Dunne, and
something else.
Who are the other ones? Yeah, I don't know.
But yeah.
There's one more tag team. DIY. Yeah.
Oh, right. That could be pretty good. Yeah. Still no Chad Gable, though.
No.
Hopefully on the show. But yeah, so Mania is looking good. It's looking stacked. They're doing really well. I'm sure the gauntlet match could be pretty good with all those people in it as well on Raw. And next week, Rock back on SmackDown. Like, we're thinking the Rock concert. So I'm sure if they promote the shit out of that, though, if they do have that. So we'll see. But yeah.
Yeah.
him trying not to swear is great. Who's having the better time not trying to swear? Him or Ospreay on AEW? He's just like, fuck. I told myself I wouldn't swear, and then he swears and gets censored. But yeah. Should we talk about some AEW?
Let's do it.
Yeah, this week wrestling was pretty good over on the season premiere of AEW, I guess you could say, because they changed a bunch of their stuff, new tubes, tunnels.
I really liked the look of it.
Me too.
I'm glad we're back to the tunnels. Putting my little conspiracy theory hat on is the words on the street was it was Punk that said to get rid of the ranking system and all that. I wonder if like him and Zaslav were like, hey, like, no, like LED screens and none of this tunnels thing.
Right.
It's, I think going back to this, it reminds me of, you know, early AEW when it did look and feel different, when it was hotter. I like the color scheme. I like the ring light tunnels. It's this feels more like AEW and less, you know, the blue and red big LED screens felt very WWE. And that was deliberate. People flicking through the channels think they're watching WWE and then stick around and watch. But I like it feeling different.
Yeah, this looks way more like visually pleasing. Mm. As like, I know they're using a lot of the paint splatter kind of scheme. I'm seeing a lot of people comparing it to NXT. I didn't think that at all. It's just,
this was the
colors.
Original Dynamite was the
original
explosions,
wasn't it? Yeah, the powder and all the paint and stuff like that. So it just reminds me of what they were doing before. So I think the look looks a lot better this way and a lot cleaner. The tunnels and everything looks good. And the Okada Vader.
Yeah.
Right? The EVP Vader.
Like, great. Like, the Young Bucks are really good at these details and, you know, taking Cody's entrance as the EVPs.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. So there's a lot. I liked this week's episode, Dynamite. So Hangman comes out with the crutch on, first of all, one crutch. So I was like, well, like, oh, did he have two?
That was before Resolution. Hangman's gone.
Wait. Sorry. Was Hangman that? Suspended. Oh, wait, that was last week. Yeah. Sorry. Fuck. Sorry. I'm thinking of way before Revolution. Sorry. What kicked off this week?
Yeah, the Bucks walk into Sting's dressing room. Yeah, yeah. It's covered in bats.
Wait, what happened on this week's Dynamite then? I'm forgetting.
Well, I mean, shall we start with Okada?
Yeah. I mean, I really liked that. That was like the big surprise is not only do the Bucks fire Kenny Omega from the Elite, fire Hangman Page from the Elite, and then bring in Okada to pretty much like replace them, calling themselves the Elite.
Yes.
With Okada and the Bucks. And like on top of that, if Okada's replacing Kenny, then it should be the scapegoat who replaces Hangman to find the new Elite.
Oh, Jack Perry. Absolutely.
That's the new Elite, right? The heat these guys would get. But I love this where it's like Eddie Kingston pretty much is like, hey, Okada's here. Like, sick. He's probably going to be helping. He probably thinks you guys are no good. And then Okada's like, nah, actually, I'm with them.
I thought this was great. And people obviously commenting like, oh, and the Bucks were wearing Okada like robes.
He was.
Revolution.
They were. Yeah, they were.
And stuff like that. Like, it's quite public about the history between the Bucks and Okada. You know, the Bucks looking out for Okada when he was in TNA, like standing up against Russo, who wanted him to blade, and Okada wasn't comfortable about that. And therefore, Okada repaid the favor when it came to New Japan and the Bucks. So you've got all that history there. I think criticisms when, you know, this Okada free agency was going on were, we were going, go to WWE because it feels fresh and there's all these fresh opponents. Because I think in my head, he was coming in as babyface Okada, the presentation we've seen on him at Forbidden Door and these kind of things. Whereas him coming in as a heel, as a character in this top like stable, no real like leaning on to him even being Japanese or any of that. It's just like, no, this is this fucking big buck superstar. Believe what you will about the Tokyo Sport numbers, like people have questioned that, whether he's really on this 13.5 million
for 3 years
deal for
so 4.5 mil a year.
I think people have, because you know Tokyo Sport is kind of kayfabe, people have questioned whether that's okay. legit, but right. either way, he's coming in with a lot for a lot of money, aligning himself with the Bucks. This just makes so much sense.
It wasn't on TV, I don't think, but I saw it online, and it's the Bucks hanging out with Okada backstage talking, and they're like, hey, so you know, you're in the US now and you're with AEW, you're gonna get yourself an American car? And they're like, what are you gonna get? Yeah, what are you gonna get? You're gonna get a Kia, aren't you? And he's like, a Kia? They're like, yeah, nice Kia. And he goes, no, I'm not gonna drive a Kia. What's a Kia? I'm gonna get a Ferrari. So imagine Okada coming out in a Ferrari, like showing up to the parking lot in a segment, and he's in this beauty car, just playing off like, yeah, I'm in America, I'm being paid, like, fuck Otani. Yeah. It's all about Okada.
it's great though. I think setting up, you know, right away, you've set long-term plans for Okada Omega 5.
That has to be all in. If Kenny's safe, like, okay.
Kenny gave an update this week and it doesn't particularly sound promising.
He also said though, like, oh, you take my biggest rival and replace me?
Yeah.
Like, so maybe he will be.
And then you got, obviously, like, on Collision, Pac and Okada looking like it's set up for Dynasty, and Eddie Kingston, Okada. Are people saying potentially that's Supercard, this match?
Yeah. I mean, they got to get people in that building somehow. So Okada leaving New Japan to wrestle for Ring of Honor.
Well, I mean, Okada's just taken everything in this divorce, hasn't he? He kept
music.
He went out winning, didn't put anyone over in New Japan.
Triple tag titles.
And then he comes into AEW, and it's, you know, it's like in a breakup where you're collecting all your stuff from your ex's place, and then you go like, oh yeah, that's mine as well.
Right.
Pointing at the New Japan Strong title, like, yeah, I'll take that as well.
Yeah.
Like, I thought first presentation of Okada, I think if you don't necessarily know who he is, he's clearly, like, comes across as a big deal. One criticism of the whole thing, though, was the Rainmaker.
Right.
Eddie just standing
there. Yeah.
until he's about to take it. Like, as he should just hit him. Yeah. As Okada is just hugging him to set it.
He should have just hit him, yeah.
Yeah, like, that was, I was just a bit, But, yeah. No, they've proved me wrong, I think,
The Bucks have to teach Okada how to kick someone in the balls, clearly, because Okada doesn't really do that.
So. And I even quite like the trios match on Collision, where it's Okada just killing
these jobbers,
these guys, and just, it's Dick Okada. It's what we've seen towards the end of his New Japan run. It's what we saw with Kiyomiya.
Yeah. The Kia.
This is, I think it's great. Big fan of this.
Look, Okada, to a lot of wrestling fans, huge superstar. Whether, like, look, a lot of WWE fans might not even know or care about him before this, but it was the clip of him beating the shit out of Kiyomiya that went viral. Like, Joe Rogan on his podcast was like, yo, someone show me this. What the fuck? Is this real? Like, people were like, what's going on in Japanese pro wrestling? And it was that. So him beating the shit out of people right now is so refreshing, and kind of similarly to how I felt about, like, The Rock. Like, oh, great, The Rock's back. Like, yeah, I'm sure people will like it, but yeah, whatever, cool. And then right away, it's like, he's a heel and he's an asshole. I'm like, oh, this is way more entertaining. Same thing. Okay, Okada, one of the best wrestlers alive, one of my favorites, but he's kind of done this already. I'd rather see him do more fresh things in WWE. Yeah. And then right away, it's like, well, he's actually a bad guy now.
Yeah.
Really, like, reinvigorates everything a bit. So I like that. Instantly makes the Bucks have something to do.
Yeah.
They got Okada. I wonder if it's Kingston is it Kingston versus Okada at Ring of Honor or Kingston versus Okada at Dynasty? Because he should just beat Eddie for these.
I think it's Pac at Dynasty.
Okay.
And I think Kingston Okada kind of makes sense for Ring of Honor.
Right. And
It's just on a big Dynamite or something like that.
He should beat Eddie for those titles.
Yeah, and I think it's a way to, like, give him something big early whilst keeping him away from the world title picture, I imagine over the next year is going to be tied up with, like, Joe, Swerve, Ospreay.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think Okada's going to be near that for a year, at least.
Yeah,
give him this. Have him, you know, triple crown champion.
Exactly.
It's definitely a way... If you're having Okada, like, if you're paying him this money, it's like, okay, yeah, you're going to headline these ROH shows as well.
Sure.
Like, and maybe it's part of the reason why he didn't go out on his back, because he's going to be doing some New Japan Strong things as well. And, you know, maybe that's the thing. It's like, well, he's coming in as this superstar. It's like, no, he's not putting anyone over because he's still going to be somewhat affiliated, perhaps.
Yeah, look, any of these fresh matchups, there is a lot of fresh matchups. Pac coming back was shocking, and then having him tie in with Okada would be amazing, so can't wait to see that.
Part of me, if we are doing this new elite thing, and, like, I think you're completely right, I think Jack Perry fits into that perfectly. We know he's, you know, boys with the Bucks, he's obviously partly involved with the Punk leaving thing, the way his story's playing out in New Japan. Like,
with his fucking mask.
It makes have you so seen much... What's that?
Have you seen the goat? The scapegoat mask?
No. I'll look it up.
But comes out in a goat
that's
mask.
Something you could do, you know, have Jack Perry cost Eddie Kingston at Supercard or whenever they do that. And then that's your new feud. You've got Perry and Kingston feuding. You've got Okada moving on with this title. But I kind of like to see Mercedes in this faction as well.
Mercedes?
I think Mercedes is way better as a heel.
The boss?
She's got, you know, she's got the whole money gimmick like Okada as well.
Yeah.
And she isn't the best on the mic. So I think that could be good for her. And especially if you want to elevate this women's division, having her part of the top heel faction could be...
The elite. Well, she can't use the name The Boss because Springsteen. But what did she use? Not EVP, the executive or something? She used something silly.
Yeah, she used something like that. But,
I feel like she has to come in as a babyface right away because it's in Boston. It's a whole thing. And, like, she left WWE, right? So you'd cheer her.
You do, yeah, but I don't know if you'd have a babyface too long.
Right. She's better heel, absolutely. She 100% never forget. Is better she's heel. Great, but. I don't know if that would, like, because then they also have, like, a woman in their group as well, but what's Jack Perry gonna do then? Other be a goat
yeah
feud with other farm animals. But yeah, I really did like the presentation of Okada and the Elite and can't wait. And like, again, kind of foresight, if Kenny returns sooner than later, like Okada Omega 5 in Wembley. Oh my God.
Yeah, he put out something the other, he's just had another surgery recently, and he was basically saying like, hey, I'd love to say I'd be back in a few weeks, but it's the way he was talking, it sounds like it's could be a long time, and it could even be like 2025. Obviously you want to make sure he's like 100%, but also you never know when people are kayfabing you as well. But just putting that, it's ready as soon as Kenny's back, like you just go to it immediately.
Absolutely.
Branavan in the chat saying Osprey Danielson, bruv.
Man,
an incredible, what, 5-star match according to today between Kyle Fletcher and Will Ospreay closing Dynamite, which was fantastic.
I mean, Fletcher just doesn't know what to do with his hair ever. Every time I see him, I swear it's changed. Yeah. He's had like the weird Anakin Skywalker Padawan braid thing going on. Someone said, you need to cut that shit out, bro.
It's
so he
like
did that.
Baron Corbin with his gear. It's like no matter what you try, it's just you look kind of not right.
So now he's got the Slim Shady kind of Okada golden hair. But the match was awesome. Yeah, this guy is great. He's been in the tag team, obviously, Aussie Open, and his partner, I'm blanking on his name, but...
Kyle Fletcher, Mark Davis.
Like, he's been injured, and, like, there's been injuries and stuff like that, so to have him still featured on TV was, like, really nice of Tony Khan that he signed these guys, right, when New Japan didn't. So now being here with their boy Ospreay and, like, Excalibur explaining on commentary, it was Don Callis as well in commentary being like, hey, like, these guys are boys. Ospreay's helped this guy out a lot. To have like an incredible match.
Yeah, I mean, Aussie Open, they made their name in the UK.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, especially in like Fight Club Pro Progress with
Ospreay
and rooming with him and that kind of thing.
It was a great match. Yeah, honestly, one of the best main events in a long time for a free TV show as well. Yeah. Like, I don't think it got to quite the level of the Takeshita one, but still.
No, and didn't have
the story.
The stakes to it. And I think also you're not having Ospreay lose to Fletcher
of course
TV, so you've got that sort of thing, but you know, like, incredible match. Like, this is what AEW's calling card is. It's just incredible
and then,
wrestling.
And then on top of that, afterwards Danielson's music hits, he comes out, I'm screaming at the TV like, fuck, I've just been waiting for this match so that we could go to it, and we go to a lot of wrestling, so I'm just fucking selfish and I'm like, yes, we're going to it, but I'm not going to go to St. Louis.
You sure? I've got my driver's license now.
Let's go. You just me and you?
Yeah.
You can do all the driving. Yeah.
Well, we might do a 2-day trip. I have to stop off on the way.
Yeah, all right. Anyone in St. Louis, Missouri?
I'll go to St. Louis.
Let us know.
I'm down to go anywhere.
You got a couch for us?
Yeah. But yeah, I like how let's not fuck around here.
Yeah.
Let's not risk, you know, Danielson breaking his other eye or anything.
Yeah, or
like,
arm.
This is the match we want. Let's go to it.
Yeah.
Like, who knows what's going to be happening in August. Yeah, this would be cool for August in All In, but let's do it now. I think Ospreay just right away has... And I've been critical of his mic skills before. I think he's just improved on every single level. I think this... He's such a fresh voice. Like, it's so refreshing hearing a Brit who isn't either trying to be American or isn't trying to be your like posh Brit. As much as I love Regal, he's from Blackpool. People from Blackpool don't speak like the way William Regal speaks. They're like stiff upper lip posh Englishman. That ain't people from Blackpool. But it's an idea of, oh, this is how Americans see British people to be. Seeing Will Ospreay talking like the people I see in the pub in the UK.
Bruv,
all that. Seeming to have like a real connection to this crowd already. You know, I think having your Wembley show where you had all the English fans who were very familiar with him doing his chants, the Ospreay, catching on, and now, you know, fans in Texas know that that's his chant and things, and that's growing. His just different language he uses, and which
trying not to swear.
I saw someone say, oh, does Ospreay need a mouthpiece so Americans can understand? No, Americans fucking, you know, try harder. You know, we put up with your yoles and all that all the time. Like, no, it's, he's not speaking Farsi.
He's not here, Scottish.
You know, like, I think it's such a fresh, like, character. He's coming across as a big baby face, coming across as a big deal. His wrestling speaks for himself. You don't need months of vignettes or anything. Just one in-ring chat segment and a match, and you're like, oh yeah, this guy's the real deal.
This is great. He's come in like such a hot baby face, already elevated. See what it, like, to one of their biggest stars right away. Like, putting, he's already had a few years of, we've seen him in AEW putting on like these crazy matches, and then now all of a sudden Danielson comes out and just stares down. Then Collision, he interrupts Danielson after his match and says, "Hey, I thought you wanted to say something to me, so I came out here." And Danielson's like, yeah, I want to fucking fight you. So this match is official for Dynasty. This is one of the biggest dream matches. I've been waiting for this match ever since Ospreay came into like the eyes of New Japan for me. I'm like, this guy versus Danielson would be insane. And now we're getting it.
What I was impressed with as well is, you know, we talked about that Friday segment with The Rock, etc. And The Rock is one of the best, and maybe milks it too long that, we've got to go, we're out of time.
Yeah.
But, you know, when the crowd are chanting something, he takes a step back and he reacts to it and he lets the crowd do what they're doing. And Ospreay, as experienced as he is in ring, he's not very experienced with US TV style promos and all that. And I was impressed on Collision. The crowd were, you know, chanting for him and him taking a step back and acknowledging it and riffing with the crowd and that kind of thing, which you'd see inexperienced performers just kind of steamroll through it. Like, oh, I've got my script, I've got to get these words out. And yeah, I think he's been incredibly impressive so far.
He's going to be their champion this year for sure. Like, he's got to be one of their biggest, he's got to be one of the biggest draws, because if you say, hey, Ospreay's wrestling when we come to town in 3 weeks to your town, you know you're getting an insane match. Like, that's the draw right away, right? So he's already proved himself to be a pretty, you know, important part of AEW.
And I wonder what his schedule is going to be like. He has said he's finished, like, his first tour with them.
But then he's coming back this week anyway, so...
He's coming back this week?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's like, yeah, then I'm making it back for Dynamite. So
okay.
He's flying back
he's
and forth.
He's going to be flying back and forth.
That's got to suck. That's got to suck real bad.
I mean,
yeah, like, a lot of example, Kenny, right? Being a Canadian, as soon as AEW started and he wasn't in Japan anymore, where he was living, you just had Don Callis and whoever else is in AEW's people set him up with a house. Here you go. You're going to live here for now. Like, I guess Ospreay, he's got, like you mentioned, his missus and his kid that he, like, that's somewhat adopted. Yeah. So, like, maybe they just don't want to move over here. But
that's what it seems like. He's happy in the UK right now. And, you know, like, he's got money now.
Yeah,
it's
a lot of it. So
he ain't flying economy.
Yeah,
probably.
Exactly.
You know, it's UK to US. It, depending where you're going, it can be anywhere between 6 and like 11 hours.
Yeah,
flight. Like, damn. It's not the WWE schedule. He doesn't have to be on every Dynamite. If anything, it makes him a bit more special to not be on every Dynamite. And, you know, it's a real thing. Oh, Ospreay's wrestling this Wednesday. Awesome. So, I think it's doable to fly once a week, once a fortnight, or whatever.
Right.
Keep that schedule.
You got to go twice because you're going.
He's getting paid.
Yeah, yeah, like, yeah. It's got to wear on you.
We sat in a fucking car for 12 hours.
Yeah, like, but
it's going to be more comfy than that.
But then he's also, you know, he's in the gym half the day. He's training half the day to keep up the insane athleticism that he's on. Like, he is in another level compared to so many other people. Like, it's... The matches of this year that we're going to be talking about by the end of the year are just going to be his fucking name versus X. Because it's like he's just on top of
it. Did you hear Meltzer say he needs a new award? Best match of the year, not Will Ospreay?
Honestly, like, that might have to be something we look at, because we can't just talk about 10 Ospreay matches at the end of the year, because it's like his matches will be higher than a lot of other people. But I cannot wait for this Danielson match. Mm. And I don't think it'll be the only time they fight. You could do the one right now, and then, you know, maybe Ospreay's a heel later on when he gets to that and go back to it. So There's a few things, but yeah, as soon as they like teased that, I was like, oh my God, yes, please. I can't wait to see these guys fight. So that's happening on Dynasty. We're going to Dynamite in a few weeks. I imagine he's on that show. He's on the poster. So hopefully we see him wrestle as well. We're doing a Dynamite after party at Sneaky D's in Toronto for any local area people. Come hang out. $5 to sing some wrestling tunes and some drink prizes and all sorts of fun stuff. But now we're realizing that Rampage after Dynamite is going to be live.
Yeah.
So that definitely affects us because it'll take people a little longer to get to our after party. But like, if they're smart, you go, hey, Ospreay is not on Dynamite, but he's wrestling in the main event of Rampage.
What would we do then?
We might have to stay to watch him wrestle.
Yeah,
we'll have to see. So he's already a popular character that will only get more popular. As like, imagine this is like the first time seeing him. You'd be like, oh, who is this guy? So right away, I can't wait to see what else he does in AEW. And this first match that going to Danielson, I mean, not first match, but first time these two will wrestle, I just can't wait. So really excited about that. But speaking of the Toronto Dynamite, they've set up something for that for us Torontonians, which has helped, because about a week ago, the tickets for that Dynamite have definitely shifted and moved up. And I'm assuming if not a sold out Rico Coliseum in a few weeks, it'll be damn near close to it, because the Cope, Edge and Christian one more time in Toronto in an I Quit match is definitely something that has a lot of people in Toronto and wrestling fans talking about, because they're very excited to see the two homeboys go at it one last time here. And I didn't quite understand what happened on Collision with the box, the spike thing. Did you see this? With Copeland?
I saw him as a luchador.
Yeah, so he was holding a Mariah May sign for earlier in the night. And then he was wearing the Conquistador's mask. And then he attacks Christian. And then he has this like box that said spike on it. And some people took pictures of it so you could kind of see it. And it looked like the Barbie bat, essentially. Like the bat with the barbed wire on it or something. So I'm not quite sure.
It's just going to be his thing for the
He's going to murder this. Yeah. He's going to stab his ex-friend.
Yeah, I quit. Interesting stipulation.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's just going to be some crazy brawl, obviously. Yeah. Not my favorite match type, to be honest.
Yeah.
But I think this is going to be... this is going to be a fun match and definitely the right move to put it in Toronto.
Yeah, right away everyone's like, okay, wait, we got to go see Edge and Christian in the six one last time. So definitely looking forward to that. We're going to be going to the Collision in London as well on the 30th. The real London, Ontario, Canada. So maybe we'll get Ospreay on that as well and some other things.
Anything else from Dynamite and Collision this week?
I watched some... I skimmed through Collision. I watched the Okada stuff, them beating up some jobbers. I can't really think of what else happened on it.
Danielson, Shane Taylor was good, but it... Yeah, like, you know, it's...
Yeah.
Both good wrestlers, but obviously no real stakes there. But I thought that was entertaining. I really enjoyed Hook versus Brian Cage on Dynamite.
Yeah.
I thought that was great. I mean, it's... You know, like, you're doing a hardcore match so closely removed from the Sting, Darby, crazy shit.
Right.
I thought that was really entertaining.
Except how Brian Cage ran at him on the guardrail and Hook was like...
It's so funny.
Hook was like out of the arena and Brian Cage still...
It was
the camera shot, but...
But Darby's promo, you know, I got quite emotional watching this, and I think the real weight of what this... Mount Everest climb, kind of him saying that essentially his match with Jay Wyatt, Big Business, could be his last match.
That's, you know, terrifying.
There is a serious risk with climbing Mount Everest, and I thought he cut probably the best promo of his life here.
It was very good.
Obviously very emotional after the Sting retirement match and following up with that. Now he's on his own and he's gonna have this match with Jay Wyatt. Yeah, it's
scary. Like, yeah, people do die climbing this thing, and this guy's crazy to do this. But again, I'm sure he's got a team of people that he's doing it with that
are probably smart. Jump off it and be fine.
Coffin drop. Yeah. So, I mean, the guy's wrestling this week already after the crazy glass spot. So he must be fine. I don't know how he's fine after that, but he's fine.
Wild.
Insane. So, yeah, I hope they document it and use it in the future with footage of him doing this and stuff. But... Yeah, kind of scary for a guy to be like, hey, I might die doing this. It's like, well, then maybe don't do it. I don't know.
He might not, like, because I was hoping, I assume Forbidden Door is June, isn't it, normally?
Yeah.
He might not be back by then.
Well, how long does it take to climb?
3 months.
It takes 3 months to climb
apparently
this
the
thing?
Whole thing. Apparently the base itself takes like 3 weeks.
What the hell?
To like walk through the base before you're even climbing.
What the
fuck? Yeah, so
crazy.
That would take him to June, and I don't know if like obviously Hiromu is the kind of dream match we'd like
yeah.
to see. There aren't that many dream matches right now between
for New Japan.
New Japan yeah, and AEW.
What's Forbidden Door main event gonna be? Okada versus Naito?
Yeah.
AEW versus New Japan.
There's no Naito match that really interests me. There's no real Tanahashi match that interests me. Shingo Bryan, I think that's something you'd do. And yeah, like Hiromu Darby would be a big one I'd put, but I don't even know if he'd be back by then.
Yeah. So damn. That's pretty wild. Mm. Hopefully that's a fun trip for him.
Yeah.
But yeah.
What do you think of Jay White's kind of retort?
Yeah, he's fine. I don't know if I care about Jay White right now. I think the whole scissor gangbang thing is funny, but like the same time.
It's a weird position for him, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's...
I'm just like, I don't know if he was brought in the right way anyways from the get-go. So yeah. Like, I feel like he would have been really better off if he didn't leave New Japan.
Yeah.
Because yeah. Okada, Kenny, Ospreay, Okada, it's like, man, you would have been their fucking white knight, but you chose to, literally white knight, but he chose to not. So I don't know. I'm not a big Jay White hater as some people are, but I'm also not like, he's not like my favorite guy, but I am a fan of him, but maybe this is the right position for him right now.
Upper mid, yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
What would he be doing in WWE? Probably not.
Yeah.
Anything else? I don't know. NXT? I don't know. True. So really, what is kind of the ceiling for Jay White? But who knows? We'll see. And then another thing is Jeff Jarrett main evented Collision.
Yeah.
And Mark Briscoe got put through a fire table.
Yeah, that was cool.
No one really seemed to care about it. But yeah.
Yeah, not into anything House of Black particularly, to be honest.
It's, and I definitely am a cherry picker when it comes to Collision. I fast forward and watch the stuff I want to, and then go, I don't really want to watch this. And I feel like Collision still has that problem. They put big angles in there, like Ospreay and Danielson talking face to face, but then the rest of the match is like a bunch of people I don't even know. So it's like it's a tough one.
Well, they're trying to make it like a somewhat distinct roster, aren't they?
Yeah.
And I think that's the problem. When you're used to Dynamite, you kind of consider your Dynamite guys as your A guys, whereas they're trying to build up their like lower and mid card of distinct characters on Collision as well.
But it's like I'm looking, I use WrestleTix and I look at like upcoming shows, and it's like these Collisions have like 1,000 people going to it, and it's like, no shit, man, I'm not paying $60 to watch. Who are they? Oh, they don't have their names on their tights, but local guys.
Yeah.
It's like, come on. I'm sorry, but you need to step that up. So maybe they will in the next little while, because you know, almost 17,000 at Greensboro and a few thousand each week. Like,
yeah.
Maybe things will go up for them. But I enjoyed AEW this week. I enjoyed all the wrestling I watched this week.
Yeah, me too.
Except TNA. Did not enjoy that.
Didn't watch it.
Yeah.
Did you catch Dark Side?
I did just earlier today. You had mentioned that. I forgot that it had come back. I think it airs on Tuesday nights, which is a busy night for us because we watch NXT. So it kind of goes under my radar until I forget. So I put it on, and it was, Dark Side of the Ring, Season 5, Episode 1, The Ballad of Earthquake, John Tenta.
AKA Nice Guy of the Ring.
Yeah. Yeah. This one, I'm like, why is this guy everyone always said he was such a nice guy, and there's nothing that bad about him in the episode.
It's more just how this guy was like, you know, a top heel in WWF, you know, feuding with Hogan, like a big rival of Hogan at one point, to then just, you know, slowly dropping down, trying to be there for his family as best as he could, and kind of in doing so lost his place on the card and then was cursed with bad gimmick.
The Shark.
The Shark, Golga, who... Golga was my first experience of John Tenta. And I remember being like, who's this guy? This guy's cool. He carries Cartman and wears a brown gimmick mask. Like, I like this guy. But yeah, and then just, you know, get yourself checked, guys. Like, just left an illness that could have easily been cured and left it too late and passed away. I found it interesting. I don't know when else you're going to really get a documentary on John Tenta, you know, an earthquake. I can't see it being something that A&E really do. And in this case, I'm like, oh, well, that's cool. I get to learn a bit more about this guy who just seems like he was a really fucking lovely dude. And it is dark side as well. It's just maybe not as juicy as some of the others.
I really enjoyed it still. I know, like, it, maybe I don't know too much about Earthquake. I've watched him wrestle a few times, never live, but like I've watched through the years. I know about him and everything. But
I'm pretty sure I have seen him live at like one of the UK things where you got fake Kane and fake LOD. I'm pretty sure I saw Earthquake.
You saw Avalanche.
Or saw some guy as Earthquake.
Right. I think it was very like nice. You hear like his wife and his family and these kids being like, hey, this guy like hustled for us and like to make sure we had a better life. And because he grew up poor in Canada and all this thing. And I was like, wow, man, like what a fucking gem of a dude. This guy just did what he was told to do and did it for his thing. He made it big in sumo. He was doing good in sumo, but he was like, this isn't what I want to do. I want to be a pro wrestler, and made it happen. And then WWE was like, yo, this guy's fucking huge. Mm. We'd sign you. And before even doing it, told his peers, like, hey, should I do this? And they're like, if that's your dream, like, you got to do it. And he did it. So, I really like that. And then on top of it, he's a karaoke legend.
Yeah, loves his karaoke.
Singing his House of the Rising Sun and stuff. So, yeah.
It's with his wife.
I don't think it gave me, like, the dark side of the ring telling me some crazy things. Like, you know, there was glimmers of murder in this with Typhoon's like storyline that he mentioned. Fred Ottman's in it, right? He mentions like the whole reason the national disasters actually stopped is because someone close to him died, and
that's right. So, like, and that's take over the bar. Right?
And I'm it's interesting because I didn't know that. So it's like, I didn't know that. That's why they were cut short, because really, if they stayed, they probably would have been even bigger, right? So that was definitely a sad. But then on the other side of the spectrum, this episode gave us one hell of a very what's it called when you see someone laugh and it just makes you laugh?
Oh yeah, what's that called? I don't know the term, but infectious. Oh man,
infectious laugh. Which Haku being shown the Shockmaster,
so funny.
Oh man, this is an evergreen clip of this guy just howling, laughing, crying here, and like, oh Fred, like this boy and stuff. So still really enjoyed this episode, and they knock it out the park. They really do, these Dark Side guys. So they managed to make me really be invested and care about Earthquake. So. Fucking rest in peace, Earthquake, man. John Tenta, what a guy.
And then we got, the Bagwells next week.
There's, his mom?
I think next week is, Marcus and Mommy Bagwell.
We need a Disco Inferno episode at this point. Man. So we're getting Buff Bagwell. We're getting a Terry Gordy episode, which I cannot wait for that one as well. Brutus the Barber Beefcake, I could probably take that one. Yeah. Does Hulk Hogan show up in that one?
I mean, he'll be part of it, won't he? I doubt he'll be a talking head.
So interested in seeing the rest. I forget what else is coming this year, but this show, I always forget about it, and then as soon as I put it on, I'm like, oh, I love this stuff. So good stuff from Vice all around.
All right.
Anything else?
That's everything I can think of.
I saw that Bayley might be getting Paramore for her entrance.
She's been pushing for this for years, and
I don't think they'll play her out. They just will play the song.
Who knows?
Yeah.
I think they're down for it, maybe, if they're around.
Yeah. And then another thing I saw, I don't know if it was Cena on Van Vliet, but Cena in an interview mentioned that in 2012, he was ready to go full heel. Okay. He had a theme song ready, new gear, entrance, everything, but then they decided against it and it didn't happen. Which
2012, that would have been Rock.
Yeah. So it was for The Rock.
For the second match.
The second match, I believe.
Interesting.
He's been claiming that they had this all planned and then they just decided against it, which I'm kind of like, that was such a talked about thing, but like, I don't know. He says that's true, so.
Him beating Rock, being a heel runners champ.
Would have been pretty good.
Would have. And then you go into, you then go into Randy, and it's the unification, isn't it? I think.
I feel like it would have, either way, would have been better than what they went with, because that time was not good, in my opinion. So I thought that was pretty interesting. He did say like that we made everything, we had designs made and everything, and then just decided not to do it. So I bet they were kind of like, you're John Cena, though.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
We'll never see. That's what the Firefly Funhouse is all about.
Yeah.
They have NWO Cena in 2K.
Nice.
This year, I briefly played a bit of 2K the other day, and I was Muhammad Ali, and I beat up Logan Paul. That was my first task.
All right.
And then I played against Briggs and Jensen. I was Vader. I beat them up.
In a handicap match.
I was tagging with my friend was Randy or something, okay. I think. And then I played a Rumble, and I got to see like a bunch of different... Andre Chase is in it. Duke Hudson's in it.
Nice.
With his trophy.
Sick.
Yeah. It's a fun game.
MVP.
Yeah, exactly. So there you go. That's all the things going on in the world of wrestling. Thank you, everyone. If you made it this far, appreciate you listening to us ramble on. And anyone in the YouTube chat, if you weren't in the chat, there's the replay always available on YouTube. And we'll be back Tuesday, post-wrestling, for a new episode of Up Next. And then, yes, next Sunday is St. Patrick's Day. And that means this week for our Patreon is busy because Leprechaun 4 in space. We're doing, what else are we doing?
Takeover Philly and Wallace and Gromit.
Wow, this week is stacked.
Stacked.
Patrons, get in there. And if you're not a patron, patreon.com/poisonrana, $5 a month to support your boys and get access to hundreds of podcasts. And again, follow on the socials. Go to chopped-tees.com. Do all the stuff. At Poison Rana Pod. Everything. Support your boys. We appreciate you guys. And yeah. Oh, also, rest in peace to Akira Toriyama, the creator of Dragon Ball Z. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of wrestlers are posting stuff because they are clearly inspired by all the years of Dragon Ball Z stuff. So RIP, that guy definitely inspired a lot of people, including myself. I loved watching that as a kid. So yeah. And that's it.
All right, you slags.
All right.
Let's get out of here.
Yeah. Take care. Goodbye. And be safe.
Ahoy!